lose. Only me, only you, and we'll find out why it's hard to lose or to crash. When we're having a laugh, when we sign all the graphs, we've got to get you to the inside. We've been watching your cat, but we've been taking your minds.
Sometimes we interview really big, famous bands. Sometimes we interview little, teeny, unknown, independent bands. And sometimes we interview bands that are just at that moment in their career that they could be huge. And that would be this week on Just Another Menace Sunday. A band who I won't tell you where they got their name. I'll let them do it. Because it's one of those stories that's kind of goofy. Actually, nerdy would be the best description, I would say. It's a band that I championed from the very second I got their EP on Ore Records. They're called Pity Sing, P-I-T-T-Y and the word sing. They're from Boston, New York. And their lead singer, as trendy as it could be, is from Manchester. But he didn't live there very long, but he has managed to hold on. Paul has held on to that Manchester accent in a very charming way. They're young. They're power poppy as can possibly be. And I, Dennis the Menace, got to interview them at a very exotic location in Austin, Texas, which we'll get to in a second. Welcome to Just Another Menace Sunday. First hour interviews with rock and roll people that hopefully will be of interest, whether they are large or small, at the beginning or the end of their careers. We've got a couple at the end coming up. No, I'm just kidding. Hour number two, melodic rock and roll a la Dennis the Menace, jam-packed this afternoon. Hope your Sunday is going well. So without further ado, let's go to the mystery spot for my interview with Pity Sing right here on Just Another Menace Sunday.
We are on the 26th floor of the Hilton Hotel looking over beautiful downtown Austin at the Bank of Texas building or something like that. And we're having tea and scones and with Pity Sing. And the first thing I'm going to do is ask you to pass the microphone around and introduce yourselves.
My name is Bill. I play bass.
I'm Dave. Drums.
Dave drums?
Yes. I'm Paul. I'm the dancer.
I'm Jeremy. Keyboards, guitars, accordion.
As I mentioned, I didn't in our preamble. I eventually played radio, but I went right to We're on Drugs. So why don't we just start the story there? Because like all bios, as you read them on the website, it's very slickly written with lots of opinion on stuff. But who wants to really kind of take the history of the band Fang? Who wants to do that? Paul, I think, is it yours, Paul?
Sure.
I think it's his, because he was the most outspoken in the bio, so I think he's stuck with it.
The history of the whole band.
Or the history of rock and roll, if you have that
history
much
history of rock and roll.
Let's make time.
The complete story, volume one. Let's see, we met in Boston in late 2000 at college, and we all hated it. We all hated college, so we figured why not play some music and get the hell out, and that's what we did. So it's pretty much that's about it. We played a couple shows in Boston before we met our attorney, who put us onto some people and put the demo out, and all music was just forming, and they were interested, and so we went for it, and here we are now, the record out and everything.
Okay, on to the music. This is really the word I came up with in my stupor this morning. Not stupid, but my stupor was lush. This is really lush music that once you listen to the lyrics, you realize that the subject matter isn't all that lush. We've got a loser couple that's on drugs. You know, we have some pretty. But you get sucked in. Like, I mean, this music is a musical vacuum cleaner. Because I'm like, we're on, and I'm dancing. And I'm like, this couple is pathetic. So who wants to talk about this?
Sure.
Let's see. The record, actually, most of it I wrote when I was 18. Recorded it 2 years ago. So, you know, it's pretty old now, actually. The new stuff.
Ancient.
Yeah, ancient. The stuff we're doing now is very different, and you know, I think a lot of the labeling and the comparisons we're getting off this record will be somewhat diminished once we've done the next one.
That would be question number.
Oh, okay.
I always so, get there. Let's see.
All right. So you want the music?
No. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's always the sophomore album. It's the famous question.
Right. Well, no. At the time, I mean, it was you know, we wanted this. This lush sound, we always want it to be very pop, very mainstream, even though people will try and push it into an underground thing. But, you know, truthfully, it's just pop music. And, you know, lyrically, it was just kind of ironic to have pretty music with nasty lyrics. And, it kind of going back to a time when you could do that on pop radio and have something that didn't have to be so cliche and didn't have to fit this formula. And that's, you know, just what we didn't really try. I guess it kind of just naturally came out that way. And there it is, yeah.
But back to the lush, and it's actually something I just kind of thought of, but it relates to how you created the EP. You did it in kind of in your rehearsal studio, so we don't need to retell that story. But even more, then you went back and you effectively, did you re-record everything? Because I know you did it in Dallas in a jingle studio,
right,
which I'm quite familiar with because I get involved in a lot of advertising. But you didn't exactly have a jingle studio is very, very right. different than working in, you know, air studios
right.
in wherever. So tell me a little bit about the sound and how you got it and all of that. And this is your chance to use that word.
What? Oh, no, I'm not going to use that word. Well, actually, it was kind of a process because, you know, we worked out, like, a lot of the electronic stuff beforehand. So we came into the studio with...
With the track, the electronic tracks were already...
Yeah, like, elaborate sequences were done, and then it was just a matter of, you know, organically the whole thing kind of coming to be.
Yes.
And actually, much thanks to the Johns, John Slott and John Hunter at Juniper Studios in Dallas, because they actually let us record nights for free.
Yeah, we did the whole thing for free.
So we had a lot of time to lollygag and to faff what have you.
Okay, but Aura Music, it's you and Lost Lonely Boys. Ooh. Kind of an interesting little dichotomy there. So how? Let's do the, like, how did you get, like, signed by the label? Who wants to do that one? So come on, someone else take that question.
When we were still in Boston and everything, and the president of Aura, Michael Kaplan, came to see us play at a bar.
Which bar?
Bill's Bar on Lansdowne Street. We decided we were going to do ourselves up like all in war paint. So, oh, and I think Paul also dyed his hair like bright pink and green. So we all have like this war paint on, and we look very malicious, I would say. And yeah, it was also included by little like dark poetic verses in between every song, which really freaked the audience out. So yeah, but that's when they came to see us, and you know, apparently they like the war paint, so it worked for us.
Music sucked, but the war paint.
Yeah, that's what put it over the top.
Melodic rock and roll is an anomaly among a lot of the harder edged bands, and yet it's coming back from a lot of places. But you really, I mean, this album is really, really melodic, and yet in your bio, it says that, you know, and you go out of your way to say, but wait a minute, that's not what we all grew up with.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a phase that we went through, like you do with anything, you know. You just figure, well, I kind of like the sound of this, you know, and kind of roll with it. And we weren't listening to much of it until after we started kind of, you know, creating things that people would compare to some of the 80s stuff and, you know, some early more like goth stuff or Tears for Fears and things like that. And then we started listening to it a bit and you know, we became kind of fond of it, but now we never really owned much of it. Now we really don't listen to anything like that. So you know, it was just kind of a phase, but it wasn't. It definitely wasn't something that we were into, you know, in a developmental stage. It was just kind of happened out of thin air, I guess.
But the music has hooks. It has. I mean, I don't know if that was intentional, but you know, I can do We're Under. I mean, yeah. My goodness, it just. And you know, I didn't even think about Tears for Fears until you said it. Right. I think I'm gonna have to play it in a set. Mm-hmm. I didn't get there yet, right. but I mean, it is very hooky, and you are all pretty young. So where did all that get in your head to really understand the concept of, you know? I think you purposely did it, but it's pretty hooky stuff.
No, I mean, I guess as far as you know, the pop aspect, you know, Paul's always written all the songs, and it's just been pop for the sake of pop. But as far as, you know, the sounds that resemble a lot of the old music, you know, it wasn't relevant at all. It was just kind of what needed to be there. And it was, you know, one track, and then it was two tracks, and then before you knew it, 40 tracks.
Who's going to take the band name? Who gets the band name?
It's one good thing I got out of school. In English class, there was this Flannery O'Connor story that we read. I'm going to cry here in the middle of the interview now. Okay, that's right. I've just found myself again. Flannery O'Connor, it was a story called A Good Man Is Hard to Find. Basically, Pitti Sing is the name of this cat in the story who the family is, they fear to leave it at home while they go on vacation. They think it'll starve. So they put it in a basket in the back of their car for this road trip. And in the middle of the trip, cat jumps out of the basket and jumps on the driver's head and claws him, and he crashes into a tree in the middle of nowhere. And coincidentally, there's a bunch of escaped felons from a local prison that have been walking for miles. And they stumble upon the family, and they don't want to be identified, so they take the family into the woods and shoot them all in the head because of this little pesky cat.
But he gets away.
But Pitti Sing gets away.
You were saying earlier how, like, you know, it's very, like, melodic as far as, like, you know, the progressions and the singing and everything like that, which I think is very cool, and that's coming out more now, music and everything, but it's like too pretty now, I think, and like we want to keep the melodic thing going on, but give it some balls or
some Django
girth,
some,
you know, like exactly, yeah. Just
but not forward guitar,
not in a guitar,
not in a guitar way, yeah, more in
A lot of it won't even have guitars.
Or more in a rhythm sort of way, more in
yeah,
the
just
beat,
in your face,
more forward,
drums.
Drums.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Lots of beats.
I would say so.
Yeah, it's gonna be like.
But still pretty.
Pop ditties.
Just in your face.
Yeah, in your face.
So I love when these come to exactly 20 minutes, because then that gives me 40 minutes to do my little secret. And this is, yes, this is what we do with the last rest of the hour. And people who get it just have a party with this. And if it works, if it works really well, I go into my second hour. There was one recently where it went for like 85 minutes, and I only had about 15 minutes to play new music, and nobody really cared because it was that good. What we're going to do together is we're going to make, it's a little early, well, it's 11:45, we can do this. We're about to have lunch, and we're going to make a Pity Sing musical sandwich. And here's how it works. You each pick, well, between you, you have to pick bread. So one Pity Sing song is one slice of bread, and another Pity Sing song is the second slice of bread. But in between it, you can give me as many fillings as you want, and then I literally will play that set exactly. We've tracked down stuff that you would not believe, exactly as you ask for, and I will send it to you.
Really?
Yes. So anything you've always wanted to hear between two Pity Sing songs, this is your chance to do it.
Let's do it.
You want to do that?
So robots.
Let's put Robots on. We'll put Fallen on. Every Time You Go Away by Paul Young.
I want Souvenirs.
Souvenir,
yeah,
OMD.
OMD, Souvenirs.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and then, Tears for Fears, what's the song? The best song they ever wrote.
Head Over Heels.
Yeah, Head Over Heels.
Yeah, and then so like really calm it down just for a minute. Play Claire de Lune, Debussy.
Thank you. My mind only comes to my soul falling out. I'm aching. makes me kill all of the wills and all the drives of Robert Five.
Thank you.
recovered Dawson blood. Just remember we're on drugs.
I was just telling our producer, Katie, that there's a reason that certain bands are just as incredibly above the norm as others are. Sentence there somewhere. Help me, Dennis. In the case of Pity Sing, P-I-T-T-Y-S-I-N-G, two words, go to pitysing.com and travel somewhere to see them. I traveled to Austin, Texas, and that's why that interview happened, and even more so why I was lucky enough to see them live. Paul and band, immensely talented. I don't say that easily, as you know. They're on Or Records, ormusic.com, and I championed them early on among several other DJs of my ilk. I want big things for Pity Sing, because their musical sandwich not only showed their influences, but it showed just how incredible their musical taste is. And it got me into a band that I didn't know that much about, because I didn't live in London at the time. Their musical sandwich, we heard We're on Drugs, the first track that I played by Pity Sing. London Suede, they were called London Suede at that point. I guess there was some sort of lawsuit. Heroin. Ned's Atomic Dustbin, my new discovery of a band that I just missed. Grace L. Green, Debussy, a version of Clair de Lune on Denon Records that was not attributed to an artist. Bad, bad, bad Denon Records. Tears for Fears, Head Over Heels, Souvenirs, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, Paul Young, I apologize for my scratchy 45, have to get a new copy of Every Time You Go Away, and the opening bread on the musical sandwich by Pity Sing, Fallen. Next week's interview on Just Another Menace Sunday, I can't wait to play you this one. It was just so joyful and fun. John Doe, formerly of X, will be hearing a track of his at the end of the show from his new album. And I'm going to get some of the assorted stuff out of the way before we move into hour number two, melodic rock and roll on Just Another Menace Sunday. By the way, input on interviews, requests, please email Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, at menaceattic, M-E-N-A-C-E-A-T-T-I-C .com.
RSA Security Incorporated would like to remind us that drunk driving is now the leading cause of death among young people 15 to 24 years of age. Each and every day, 14 teenagers die from drunk driving accidents. Parents, please talk to your kids tonight about the dangers of drinking. You may save their lives and your own. Brought to you by RSA Security, Incorporated in San Mateo, on the air because they care about the people in this community. For information, you can visit their website at www.rsasecurity.com.
Okay, that is that one. And if I press this button right here, I should be able to get to the other one that I want to get out of the way. And yes, do talk to your kids about drinking. Of course, my daughter Kate isn't quite there yet.
KUSF wants you to know all about the Exotic Dancers Alliance.
Or here for that matter.
A collective group of self-identified female exotic dancers, the Exotic Dancers Alliance collaborates to obtain adequate working conditions and civil rights within the sex industry. The Alliance's mission is to address the lack of civil, human, and labor rights on behalf of exotic dancers and other sex industry workers. Their primary objective is to support all sex industry workers by providing information, referrals, and services while collectively advocating for sufficient working conditions in the sex industry. Additionally, primary medical care, HIV, STD prevention, financial benefits, and planning are provided. For more information on the Exotic Dancers Alliance or to volunteer, please call 415-995-4745.
And the moral of this radio show, Kate, if you're listening to Daddy on the radio right now, do not do drugs like We're on Drugs by Pity Sing. Do not drink and drive. And most importantly, do not become an exotic dancer. It's time for hour number two of Just Another Menace Sunday. Melodic rock and roll a la Dennis the Menace. And I'm pretty sure it's Troy. Troy, is that you? Would you hit CD number two right now, please?